Yesterday was May the 4th, and for most people, May the 4th is just, well, it's just the 4th of May, but for Star Wars fans, it's May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you. That's kind of the May the 4th, they have all kinds of Star Wars sales going on and stuff like that. And despite the leanings towards many in the sci-fi community, Star Trek fans and Star Wars fans do not have to be diametrically opposed. They can actually get along. And so I'm all for that. There is a quote from one of the Star Wars movies that I'd like to consider this afternoon for a few minutes with you. And it's a quote that a lot of people, I think, have the wrong impression of when they consider the words of Yoda. When he says, "Do or do not, there is no try." And of course, the context in which this quote is taken is where Luke Skywalker is in training and Yoda's calling on him to do something that seems impossible. And Luke says, "I'll try." To which Yoda says, "No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try." And there are those who take this quote and they think of it as, well, I guess you can't try to do anything. Either do it, or if you're not going to accomplish it, don't even try to do it. But that's not really, I believe, the advice that Yoda was giving to Luke. Most try to do their best in any given situation. I think generally speaking, people want to do well, and so they try to do well. So the advice that Yoda gives to Luke, I believe, isn't so much about there is no try, either do it or don't do it. It's not about trying to do it or not trying to do it. It's about the mindset that one enters into something with. If you enter into an endeavor, whether it's raising an X-wing out of the swamp, or you're endeavoring into a test, a term paper, some secular thing that you're trying to get accomplished, whatever it may be, if you enter into that endeavor with failure as an option, then you're most likely going to fail. It is to that that Yoda speaks when he says, "Do or do not." Don't entertain the idea of try, because if you say, "I'll try," then that provides the option or the scenario in which you fail to accomplish your goal. Now, interestingly enough, when you look through the Bible and you look at the terms try in the context of attempting, or even the word attempt, and I looked up all the synonyms, and I couldn't find a single example of a positive use of the word try or attempt in the entire Bible, Old or New Testament. There were several negative senses in which the word was used. You tried to do this, you attempted to do that. But I couldn't find a single reference that was a positive reference to try or attempt. Let me give you a thought to kind of walk with as we consider the scriptures. Because I believe that Yoda's advice here has its roots, actually, in what God writes to the Corinthians through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 24, Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" Verse 25, "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it," talking about those who are physically endeavoring in this race, "they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we," talking about Christians, "we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Notice the last part of verse 24 that we didn't read, that I believe is the same advice that Yoda borrows to give to Luke. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. When Paul writes to the Corinthians and he is encouraging them in their endeavor to reach heaven, and their aim, their goal for eternal life, he likens this to a race, and he likens it in many commentaries. They bring out the concept of the Olympics, the races that were run. And he says in verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" Paul's not saying that there's only one crown of life to win. That's not at all what he's saying. Notice the mindset, though, to which he speaks when he says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it," as if there was only one prize to win. Now, we're going to come back to this concept here in just a minute. But in the meantime, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3. Paul writes to Timothy and he tells Timothy, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Here in verses 3 through 6, Paul likens the Christian to three different secular physical jobs. One is a soldier. He says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please, in this analogy, that he may please God, the one who enlisted him. So he focuses on the orders he has been given. He doesn't take the time in the middle of a battle to text home. He focuses on the matter at hand. Then in verse 5, Paul brings up the idea of an athlete, just as he did with the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when he says, "Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Then in verse 6, here comes the farmer. The hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Notice in all three of these instances, the idea of trying or attempting doesn't exist. It's not there. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it," the idea of trying or attempting wasn't in Paul's thoughts. Paul didn't issue the idea of try to be a good soldier. He didn't say try to be an athlete that runs according to the rules, or an athlete that tries to run according to the rules. Try to be a hardworking farmer. That's not what Paul says. This is what the Christian is. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 11, when Paul writes to Timothy yet again, he tells him, "You, O man of God, flee these things." These things being, in context, the love of money being the root of all evil. And associated with it, on a broader sense, is the temptation that comes with, or that is being used to draw people to sin. Flee temptation and sin, whether it's the love of money or anything else. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul doesn't say, try to fight the good fight of faith. He doesn't say, try to lay hold on eternal life. There is no concept of try or attempting in the mind of Paul or any other of the New Testament writers and associated in association with getting to heaven. It really is do or do not. There is no try. Because if you enter in to the endeavor of trying to get to heaven, and you entertain the thought process, well, here's the two scenarios. I might make it or I might not make it. Then odds are you might really not make it. If you were to ask the Olympic runners, or anyone who's competing in the Olympics for that matter, if you were to go up and down, let's say the runners on a track in the 100-yard dash or whatever, and you were to interview each of them, and you ask them, what are you hoping to, are you hoping for the bronze medal? None of them are going to say, no, I'd like to get the bronze medal. Well, are you going to try to get the silver? No, that's not what they're shooting for either. What are they running for? They're running for the gold medal. They're running for first place. And if you ask them, well, is there a possibility you may not even place in the medals? I mean, are you trying to run, but you know, you might not make it. The mindset with which they train for 4 years, and in some of these cases for more than that, if they're multiple attendees at the Olympics, sometimes their entire lives, their goal is to make the gold medal. That's their goal. Anything less is a disappointment. They want to be the best that they can. And as a result, they are driven. They are motivated every day to get up, to prepare themselves, to make sure they're eating whatever they're supposed to eat, they're exercising the way they're supposed to. They are focused on what, but even if it's 4 years down the road, maybe it's somebody who's young and they want to get to the Olympics eventually, so they're planning 8 years ahead, 12 years ahead, training just to get to that moment in time so that they can compete. They're not just making the attempt. I might make it, I might not. I'm going to make it. And I'm going to win. That is the mindset that they have. That being the case, I want you to consider what Paul does say. Not what he doesn't say, but what he does. Here in, for instance, 1 Timothy chapter 6. When he says, you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. He doesn't say, do not try to flee temptation and sin, or try to flee temptation. He says, flee. That's what he says. Are we always going to be successful? Are there going to be times where we stumble and make mistakes? Yes, there will be. But Paul doesn't entertain that thought, does he? Why? Because then people are going to take that as an excuse or a reason to say, well, I don't have to really try very hard. Paul says, flee these things. And then he says, not just try to pursue righteousness and godliness and faith. He says, pursue. Are there going to be times where maybe we don't pursue as hard as we should? Perhaps. But Paul doesn't allow for the entertaining of failure. You flee these things and you pursue righteousness and godliness and faith. You fight the good fight. The implication there is that we will win the good fight. Notice he doesn't say, try to fight the good fight. You might lose, but hopefully you'll win. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. That term lay hold means to seize. It's a term that likens to laying hold of something that is precious and never letting it go. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called. You confess the good confession. What's the good confession? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Let that be your motivating factor in you going forward to fight the good fight with the mind to win. Going back to 2 Timothy and chapter 2. When Paul writes regarding the soldier in verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does he say? He says, you be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. Be this athlete that, as he says in verse 5, that competes and is crowned according to the rules. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Here's the rules that God has set forth. And as we've already established in 1 Corinthians 9, run in such a way that you may obtain it. But according to the rules. You don't make up your own rules as you go along. The hard-working farmer. Don't just try to be them. Be them. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. When Paul makes the statement regarding running this race in such a way that there's only one prize to win, but then he goes on to say there in verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They're controlled. That's what that term means. They're controlled. They are in control of themselves. They are aware of themselves. They do it for a perishable crown. They work so hard, sometimes a lifetime, all for the aim of that gold medal. We, how much more so should we then? As we aim for that imperishable crown, that crown of righteousness, how much more should we be motivated to train and work to obtain it? Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. God has told me exactly what to do, how to do it. Here are the conditions upon which you will be awarded with the crown of righteousness. Therefore, I run. I know exactly where I'm going, and I know exactly what the rules are. I run with certainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I know how to fight. I have been trained according to the one who has trained me. He has taught me what to do. He has taught me how to fight. And he has taught me what my goal is. The only thing not in this list that Paul reiterates to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is the farmer. The other two are here. Being the warrior, thus I fight. Being the good soldier. And the athlete. Being the one who runs. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. Paul's talking about himself in verse 27. All of this on the heels of, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Do or do not. There is no try. Don't enter into this endeavor of getting to heaven with the thought process, well, I may not make it, or I might. I'm going to try real hard, but, you know, maybe I'll make it. That's not the mindset Paul brings forward. Run in such a way. Don't just try to run in such a way. You run with a mind to win. For whatever reason, when I was putting this lesson together, I know I'm jumping from one sci-fi to another, but this is what popped into my head when I was thinking about, don't just try to be them, be them. Don't just pursue it, try to pursue it, pursue it. This is what came into my head. It's from The Matrix. This guy who all of a sudden knows Kung Fu, he's supposed to be this great fighter. And Morpheus, they're sparring. And he continually tells him, you can do better than this. You are better than this. And at one point he even says, stop trying to hit me and hit me. Because that thought process of failure was a barrier. Don't try to do something. Know you can do it and do it. That was the advice Yoda was giving to Luke. That advice has its principle right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 24. God wants us, when we enter in to our commitment to serve Him, we enter in with a mind to get to heaven. Not just try to get there, to get there. That then comes down the line into every aspect of what we do as Christians. And everything we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, Paul told the Colossians. That being the case, when we are at work, don't just try to be a good example. Be a good example. Does that mean we're always going to be the best example? Not necessarily. Sometimes we might make mistakes from here or there. But that's not the mindset that we should have. Otherwise, we're inviting failure. When you go to work tomorrow, go to work with the mindset that today I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to be a good example. And I'm going to flee sin and temptation. I'm going to pursue righteousness and godliness. I'm going to be a good soldier. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to be a hardworking farmer. This is what I'm going to be today. Don't worry about tomorrow and the next day and the next day and next week. Today, I'm going to serve God. Don't just try. Do or do not. That's the lesson for you this afternoon. I hope this is something that causes us to think about how we approach each day, whether it's work, school, whatever endeavors we have in our lives in which the opportunity is constantly presented to us to fail as a Christian, to fail to be a good example, to fail to run from or flee from temptation. These are constantly around us, these opportunities to fail. But if you think you're going to fail, you will fail. If you entertain the idea you're failed, you're likely going to fail. Be the faithful Christian that you know you can be. God has taught you how. Jesus Christ has shown us how. Now you take it and be it tomorrow. For the rest of today, be the good Christian. Tomorrow, be that faithful Christian. Tuesday, be that take one day at a time. Do. Don't do not and don't try. Do. We offer an invitation this afternoon to those who are not Christians to be baptized, ever since washed away, be added to the body of Christ, and enter into a commitment to make it to heaven. This is a commitment that we all share, that all of us together help one another on that path. And together we can do. For those of us who are Christians, don't ever allow yourself to get to a point where you just want to give up. Don't let yourself get to a point where you're expecting failure. Because sometimes the devil can do that to us. Temptation after temptation bombards us, and we get to a point where we just expect to fail. God gives you the strength that you need. He will never allow you to be burdened more than you're able to bear. Your brethren are here for you. Let us know if we can help you. The invitation is extended. If you're subject, please come forward as we stand and sing.